Welcome to the Meditation Conversation, the podcast to support your spiritual revolution. I'm your host, Kara Goodwin, and this is such a great episode with Christine Lang. We talk about some truly fascinating topics like the intelligence of your body and how it communicates with you, how to develop your intuition, the gateways of the fourth, sixth, and seventh chakras, and Christine channels some medical insights for me so you can get a feel for what one-to-one work is like with her. Christine's a former attorney who became a medical intuitive. She has a special gift to see people's energy and have conversations with their spirits. As a translator for each person's spirit, Christine helps clients receive clarity on how their stressors resulted in the life they're currently living. And she's the author of The Body Whisperer. And so before we start, I want to point you to Best Made Natural Products for all your homeopathy needs. Christine's going to be talking about the importance of homeopathy in her path. I rely on homeopathy for my health needs as well as those of my family. And I trust the quality of Best Made, who have a remarkable track record of over 60 years of worldwide use. Their products are 100% guaranteed, and their natural healthcare products are top-notch. I've had wonderful experiences with Best Made, and I want you to benefit from the good work they're doing too. Use the link in the notes and promo code KARA10% for 10% off your order. That's K-A-R-A 10% for 10% off. And now, enjoy this episode. Hello, Christine. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So I would love to start with just how you transitioned. What made you go from being a lawyer to a medical intuitive?
Not your typical route, I admit. When I was in law school, I developed allergies that were terrible, just constant sneezing, runny nose. I sounded like the sick kid all the time. And when I graduated law school, I just got so frustrated. This was before the days of the meds they have now that don't make you drowsy. So my options then were walk around with a box of tissues or take a Benadryl and drink Diet Coke to stay awake all day. And both those options started to wear on me. And I thought, that's it. I've got to figure this out. And I started studying homeopathy and working with homeopathic remedies, eventually taught a study group class for the public for the National Center of Homeopathy because I became very proficient. I got rid of probably 50, 60% of my allergies using homeopathy. Oh, wow. And that let me know I was on the right track. And you know how the universe leaves this little trail of breadcrumbs for you to follow when they want you to go a certain direction. So I made the connection, the link between stress and my allergies, more stress, more allergies. So I started taking Tai Chi and yoga and studying Buddhism and developed a meditation practice and started bringing my stress levels down. And then I learned how to do Reiki or energy healing. And before I would offer a girlfriend an energy treatment, I would say, let me come home and take off my lawyer suit and sit and meditate just to change channels in my brain. And when I would do that, I would sit in meditation and I would hear a word or a phrase that I could tell was about my friend. And I thought, why would that be? And I just ushered away like a thought in meditation and it would float back in. And finally, I got up the nerve and asked my friend that I was giving an energy treatment. She said, does this phrase mean anything to you? And her eyes flew open and she said, how do you know that? That just happened this morning. And I'm thinking, how do I know that? Yeah. And I realized I was getting information. And the next day I offered a different friend energy. The same thing happened. And she said, who are you talking to? And I said, I don't know. And I went upstairs and sat in my meditation chair again and connected, went into meditative state and then said, who am I speaking with? And my spirit said, welcome home. And tears started rolling down my face. And she said, this is who you came here to be. Get ready. And I started sitting in meditation.
Oh, my goodness.
I started sitting in meditation for 3 or 4 hours a day. And she would explain to me, this is what I'm going to show you if somebody's liver is congested. This is what I'm going to show you. This is a sequence that starts to happen when somebody internalizes a stressor and then it shows up as frequent bladder infections. And this is, so she was giving me this domino effect of how the way that we internalize different stressors can show up and lead as different symptoms in our body. And my friends got better and they told their friends about it and a practice was born. Strangers were coming and that was like 28 years ago.
Oh my gosh, that's remarkable. So were you working with people, like when you would get those messages, you were able to tell them what was going on within their body? And then was it a combination of like Reiki, energy healing with the homeopathic knowledge that you were able to help people?
sometimes the homeopathy came into play. But what I really noticed is when I first started giving energy treatments to friends, frequently the energy would help for a little while. But let's say they suffered from migraines. The migraines would come right back. Mm. And so then it was a little bit like Western med, like taking a Tylenol, right? It alleviates the symptoms for 3 or 4 hours and then it comes back. And I realized, okay, there's something underlying here that we need to get to. And homeopathy can do that, some of that, certainly. But most people don't want to undertake a study of homeopathy. And I didn't want to be the pharmacist for my neighborhood. So I started in meditation asking, what's underneath this? So the first friend that I got a message for, she was coming in because she was having back pain. And that was unusual for her. She said, gosh, it's been coming and going the last couple of weeks. And the message that I heard was arguing about buying a new car. And I was like, what? It just seems so random. And when I mentioned it to her, she goes, oh my gosh, my husband and I have been arguing for the last 3 weeks. And we just had an argument this morning about buying a new car. He thinks I have to have a new car. I think my car is fine. And I said, I think that's about the time your back started bothering you. She goes, it is. And so we traced that to, okay, here's this lack of support. Here's how you're feeling. And then I put the energy in and it was gone for good. And it was that idea that, oh, that you can get this permanent resolution when you understand the underlying causes and you treat those. And when we were sitting and talking, I didn't realize at the time, I started channeling her spirit, who gave these great suggestions of what she could say to her husband to help him understand her point of view. And it resolved it.
Oh my goodness.
So not only did the back pain go away because she released the upset she was holding, but her spirit gave her these great tips on how to have that conversation to really feel seen and heard and witnessed to end the stress as well. Yeah. And what I love about the session work that I do with people is that your spirit is the best life coach, therapist, health consultant you'll ever find, because your spirit's able to track that trail of damage. How did that get there? And give you the way back out. And the solutions end up being just like this ripple effect throughout someone's life where it's transformative for all of their relationships while they're healing a physical symptom.
Wow. That's so powerful. So you said that when you asked about the guidance you were getting, like who you were connecting with, the response mm-hmm. was welcome home. So do you have more insights on who it is that you're working with? Is it your higher self or do you have?
Yeah, that's a great question. I could feel that it was me. It was my higher self. And for the first year that I worked with people, I always got information from my higher self. And I'm like, how do you know about Karen or Susan? And my spirit said, as soon as they ask you for a session, two spirits are in instant communication. And there's this transfer of information. And to the point where my spirit would say, yeah, tell her it's like that movie she watched last week with her husband. And it would be accurate. She's, oh, yeah, that is like that movie. And I'm thinking, I don't know what they're talking about. But obviously her spirit said something to my spirit. And after about a year of doing that, my spirit taught me how to go up and out a level to connect to other people's spirits and to connect to guides. If you think of vibrational levels, and our spirit might be at that 7 or 8 vibrational level, at 8, 9, 10, there are guides that aren't in physical form, but can also give us great advice. And when I'm channeling, I'll always say, this is your spirit. I'm hearing this from a guide, just to differentiate so that people understand mm-hmm. kind of advice they get from each. But that initially was my spirit. Mm-hmm. Now I talk to the client's spirit most of the time in a session or in a workshop.
Wow. And so are your sessions, like at this point, are you working energetically? Is it always like a medical thing now? Or is it more like an inside, or how do sessions work with you now?
I would say most of the time people find me because of a medical thing. Their doctor, their therapist, their acupuncturist refers them to me when either Western medicine can't figure out what's happening, or Western medicine knows what it is, but there aren't great options for long-term care. So chronic conditions, whether it's chronic bladder infections, back pain, mouth issues. And so what initially starts off as working towards resolution of a physical symptom, those pretty quickly occur in session. But I have clients that I've seen for 25 years that I only see once or twice a year, but they now come for the transformation of their relationships. Mm-hmm. And if you can think that most of our physical symptoms, especially the chronic ones, end up being because of how we internalize stressors, and most of our stress comes from our relationship difficulties, whether it's relationship at work or relationship in your personal life. But that's the source of so much of our angst and our happiness. And So once people come to realize, oh, my spirit has great advice for me about how I stand in my relationships and how I show up and who I spend the most time with, they tend to come back to work with me for more help in their career and their relationships. And they'll say, oh, yeah, and I also have this other weird physical thing. I'll take care of that too. But it starts to take a back seat, which is interesting. And I tend to be booked out 3 or 4 months, which is very frustrating for people. So I'm starting to offer more group events and ways to get into work with me. But that's what sessions are typically like.
Okay. And you've alluded to when we're out of balance in a certain place within our body, that's actually the body communicating a deeper issue. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that when we get out of alignment in some way, right, we feel unseen and unheard, or we feel stress, or we feel frustration with somebody, that our central nervous system registers that first. Right. There's that. And I just call it going out of alignment. Right. You don't feel smooth and easy. You feel like you're holding back, or there's stress, there's fear, there's worry. And when that occurs, the first thing is your spirit tries to speak to you through emotions first. And so you feel that emotion. And most of the time we've been trained in our culture, push it down in the emotion crusher and just keep going forward.
Yeah.
Just be productive. And so we usually don't go back and look at those things later and unpack them, and we don't grant ourselves permission to do it in the moment. And so those stressors get stored in the body, and those areas, if you think of them like little pockets of negative energy, they compromise the body. And so the body starts telling you about it. Hey, you know what? We got a lot of stuff stored over here in this left shoulder because you keep carrying these responsibilities from your family there, and we really want you to look at it. And when people come to me, they're like, hey, I have frozen shoulder, or I'm always injuring this shoulder. And I know, okay, that's a weak area of the body. And I know that there are certain messages that areas of the body correspond to. And so it gives us a starting point. But then I ask the person's spirit, okay, what's going on in here? What's trapped in that area? And when people start working with it, and you can get those messages for yourself. And I actually have a guided meditation that I made for your listeners, which I'll give you the link to, that walks you through a nice exercise where you can get a message from a certain symptom in your body.
Mm.
And it's highly effective to do. And what I teach people is most of us don't make any time to listen to our body. And I would say a lot of my work is about shifting your focus from being at war with your body and seeing it as the enemy or the thing that's a pain, like the car that needs servicing all the time, right? And instead looking it to work in partnership with your body, because it's this sort of messaging machine that your spirit uses to give you messages about what you're doing with stress, what you're avoiding, how you're taking on things that don't serve you. And if you start seeing it that way, it starts becoming this mirror that's really reflective for you of messages that your spirit is giving you.
I love that. I mean, it's changing the relationship to the body to appreciate the intelligence of the body. We
exactly.
kind of think of intelligence as like a thinking thing that our mind does, but
right.
It's like our body has an intelligence that is underappreciated a lot because, like you say, we see it as something we need to overcome, or it's a nuisance and let's quiet that down. Let's take an Advil or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Let's stop feeling the communication.
Yeah. In Western medicine, which, you know, most of us were raised with, is this idea of suppressing what is unpleasant versus investigating.
Mm.
So I always say when something happens, you wake up and your back is hurting, our first response is, ugh, I don't have time for this, which my spirit always says, show me the day on your calendar where you booked time for that. Okay, fair enough. And so then my spirit always says, instead of getting frustrated, get curious. And I talk to my body like I would talk to a toddler, right? And I'm like, okay, what do you need from me right now? What are you trying to tell me? And when I say talk to a toddler, it's because you're really patient. The toddler might not have the right words. The toddler might take a minute and kind of circle around what she's really trying to say. But if you take that stance of, I know you're trying to communicate something that's helpful and important to you, tell me what you need. And it's amazing. I realize I spend more time listening to my cats and my dog sometimes and their body and what their body needs than I would spend listening to what my body needed. We're so used to just marching forward because our culture has rewarded that since we were in elementary school. It's all about performance.
Mm. Yeah.
And that taking the time to just get quiet and still and reflect inward is not something that we were raised to see as being a value.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. So are there tips that you have for people to start to develop their intuitive gifts? I know you said We were focusing more on the intelligence of the body, but just intuitively in general, how can people start to receive messages maybe from their spirit?
So the advice I always used to give, and now I've added a step before that, the advice I always used to give is get quiet and still. And as much as people roll their eyes, yeah, it is amazing how little time we spend sort of bored, if you will, or quiet and still. We're so used to being stimulated that if we have 6 minutes before our next appointment, we pick up our phone and check our email or check social media, that our brain is really getting wired. Those neural connections are changing to be constantly stimulated. And so it takes a little bit of moving against the stream to say, I'm just going to sit and be still and see what comes up for me. Most people are frequently out of touch with that, their most predominant emotion they're feeling right now, because they're so in performance mode, focusing on moving forward. So to just get still, and sometimes I'll say, what does it feel like to be me in this moment? And that calls your energy back home. And I said, there's a step I now teach before, which is I realize that so often people have trouble getting quiet and going within because their central nervous system is so keyed up. We're on hypervigilance or high alert all the time because we are always rushing from one thing to another. And so an exercise that my spirit gave me recently when I was teaching retreat, and now I'm using it with all of my clients, is to, I usually put my hand on my heart, but it's not necessary, but to say to yourself these three sentences, and I'll give you each one, and you say each one until you feel a drop. It's like a lowering of your hypervigilance in your central nervous system. And you'll feel this relaxation response. And it might be that your shoulders drop or you take a sigh or you just lean forward a little bit. But you will notice your own tells for each step. And the first sentence is, I am safe. And saying that to yourself, I am safe. I am safe. Whether it takes three times or 20 times, at a certain point, your central nervous system will believe you. And when it believes you, it will drop down the dial of adrenaline and cortisol a little bit. And then the second sentence is, there is no urgency. And that one I have to say a million times. I have to say it for probably 2 minutes before I believe it, because I'm always in this state of rush, 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 right? Or can get easily caught up in that. When I really step into the, yeah, there is no urgency, then the third sentence is, I can be calm and still. It's granting yourself, it's reassuring yourself you can do it and granting yourself permission to do that in this moment. From there, things really change. Like people say, I can do that and not need my anxiety meds. And this isn't about recommending anybody go off medication, but to just notice how much you can give direction to your central nervous system and that sense of hypervigilance that's become so prevalent in our culture.
Yes.
So starting from that place of calming yourself down and then sitting still and reflecting into what does it feel like to be me right now? And going into the body and noticing where am I holding tension? And then going into that area and just saying, what do you want to tell me? That process changes how you relate to your body and changes how you relate to your day-to-day experience. You start paying attention to how things land on you and which people fuel that hypervigilance and which people settle it down.
That's beautiful. Wow. And then from there, is there like a launching point to kind of tapping into the intuitive part?
Yeah, I really believe that everyone should be able to talk to their spirit. And I teach a class once a year. I'll teach it probably this summer teaches people how to communicate directly with their spirit. And that is a process in meditation of going up through your seventh chakra and holding your energy there and then understanding how to ask questions and why to ask certain questions. And that class will be available in a few months. But until then, I can say that the essence of it is understanding that there are two portals through which you can connect to your spirit, your fourth chakra and your seventh chakra. I should say three, the sixth chakra as well. Your fourth chakra is mixed in with a lot of feelings. This is the mom who's sitting at home and all of a sudden she knows that her child at school just fell and broke his arm. She got this intuitive hit. So we get these intuitive hits in our fourth chakra, but they can be mixed in with a lot of feelings and emotions that blur it. And so the messages can be harder to interpret and to know which ones came from spirit and which ones came from the ego mind going, what if it means this? And what if it means that? When we move our energy up to our sixth chakra, that's what we call universal knowledge, is access point. So Tibetan Buddhists will meditate from there. Native Americans frequently meditate at the sixth chakra level, and you take in information that is true for everyone. So when Native Americans would do a ceremony and meditate at the sixth chakra level, they would get information on a particular herb they'd found or plant. This is good for headaches. This is, and that would apply to everyone. Going up to your seventh chakra and meditating from that point gives you access to your spirit in particular. So while she may tell you about a certain herb or plant that is good for your symptom, she can also say, and for you, this has to do with this stressor or this particular thing, which is not information that's typically available at the sixth chakra level. That's more universal knowledge. So I encourage people in their meditation practices to go up to that seventh. When I was first starting my practice, or before my practice, and was still a lawyer, and I would sit and meditate just to control stress, I would take my energy to my sixth chakra, as I was taught from various Buddhist meditation practices, and my spirit would pull it up. And I thought, what's happening? And I would pull my energy down, and she would pull it up. We did this tug of war for a while. And finally, she's like, I'm trying to help. And I'm like, who's saying that? Okay, wait, let me just try this. And that's when she would give me a word. And then I realized, oh, that's the magic sauce, right? That's going up to that level. So that is what I teach people, is in meditation, focus on that portal at the seventh chakra level as a way of connecting directly to your spirit.
I love that. And I relate to that too, the sixth, seventh connection, because the lineage that I first learned meditation from, they were very focused on the sixth chakra. I mean, exclusively. They were like, don't go lower. Yeah. Don't go to the crown.
Don't go higher. Yeah.
And so I like trained myself to, anytime I was wandering, I always came back only there. I similarly, there were times where it was like, oh, I'm going up. And it was a back and forth where it was like, but I'm not supposed to. And then there was also like, but what's up here?
You know, like a kid discovering a new bedroom. Hey, but what's in that room?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's very common. I went through a similar training, right? Stay in the sixth chakra, stay at the sixth chakra and manage your energy. Don't let it wander off. And yes, you don't want to get all scattered, but that bringing it in and knowing that it's, that your energy is still connected to you, you're still under control of it and managing it, but it's vibrating at the seventh chakra level.
Yeah.
That's a real opening. And I don't know that was always true. To give credit to the meditation teachers we both had coming from generations of that, I think for a long time, our civilization maybe couldn't access that. I do think in the last few generations, that has become a portal that the universe has given us. Like, hey, you can have access here now.
100%. Right? I feel the same.
It's part of the expansion of Earth, right? Of our population, is we have more and more people awakening and more people able to move their energy up. I'm always amazed the classes that I would teach 20 years ago in energy healing. When I teach something, I stopped teaching Reiki many decades ago and started something called intuitive energy healing, because I teach it's similar to Reiki, but it's much stronger energy, because if you channel the information from the start, the universe will flow more information, more energy through you. And so I give an attunement, and when they start working with energy, they're getting messages from the get-go, right? And so teaching that system, people would have to work for many months before they would start hearing information. And now I'm amazed. I can have clients who the second day of our workshop are getting messages from their spirit about the person they're giving energy to or about themselves. And I'm like, everybody didn't just get smarter. I didn't get to be that much better of a teacher. The evolution of our culture, where more and more people have this ability to pretty easily connect to their spirit and begin to get information, whether it's in pictures or words or feeling in their body, but they know where to go to give the healing energy to themselves or to a friend. And it's just like we've gotten wiser. We've gotten more intuitive as a population.
I love that too. I agree as well. And I feel that there's a planetary energetic change too that contributes to our experience here, which is one of the things, like, you know, one of my previous, the first kind of spiritual lineage that I participated in that I learned from, I learned so much. And it was from a system that was created 100 years ago, which had its charm and its function.
Right.
But it also had its limitations where it was like, yeah. they're not talking about things that are happening now that apply. And the teachings felt like they were for a different time.
Yeah. So, yes. And I have such a debt of gratitude to some of the earlier channeled books that I've read. And yet now I read books that are more newly channeled material. And I'm like, oh, this is vibrating higher. I can feel it.
Yeah.
You can feel that difference. And I've gone to taught at a couple of retreats recently, and I'll channel the room, and the guides that show up and the individual people that I've channeled for in the audience, this is a lot of wisdom, and it's a more expansive set of answers than I would have gotten 10 years ago.
Isn't that fascinating?
So yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah. So you are using the word channel. So do you see yourself also as maybe a medical intuitive channeler?
I call myself a medical intuitive and a soul channel.
Okay.
So I can channel my soul, other people's souls, and guides and angels or whoever's coming through. Mm-hmm. In a private session, I'm focusing on the person's spirit because we're going to get real direct information for their life and their stressors right now. But in a group setting, when I'm teaching a large class online or in person at a retreat, then I tend to channel the audience member spirits as well as guides that show up for that group.
Okay.
And it's always amazing how when a group comes together online or in person, how guides will show up and say, everyone in this group is working on this. And everybody's nodding their head or wow. people start crying. And I'm like, wow, they really. And other people will say, oh, I was going to come to that, but I couldn't. And then they watch the replay 2 weeks later. And at that time, they were going through that experience.
Oh, wow. That's
so it's magical how the universe sets that up and knows who needs to see it now, who needs to address it later.
And they might need to see it. If it's not now,
yes.
they'll be drawn to it when
yeah.
it's right for them. That's remarkable. And before we yeah. started recording, you said that you slip into that pretty easily as well. All right. Well, would you like to yeah. give a little demo?
Sure. Do you have any physical symptom you want to ask about or any relationship thing you want to ask about? And the more specific the question, the more specific the answer.
Okay. I will go with a physical thing.
Okay.
Because I've been doing kind of a casual detox that's kind of a decalcification.
Okay. Casual detox.
Yeah. It's not super strict. Sometimes I do really strict ones. This is like
okay.
just one kind of element that I've changed, but it's okay. a decalcifying one. And mm-hmm. I can feel, I don't know if it's my kidney or my liver, it's on the right side in my back, but I okay. feel that things are moving through and maybe something's like stuck there. So if you have anything about that.
Yes, let me ask about that.
Okay.
Give me 1 second to connect to your spirit. She said it's more accurate to say that it's loosening up some stored, it's more in your liver, not your kidney. So that's a little higher, right? She said it's more that it's loosening up like scale. It's not to be gross, but if you're scraping scale off a fish tank, right? It's more like that is happening in your liver. And that she said holding the intent to detox of, she said you're good about holding the intent to detox physically and emotionally at the same time. And so because of that, your body does both, right? And so that the detoxing that you're doing is loosening up and flaking off some old resentments. And she said, so that's what you're feeling is almost like a crystallization, because you can feel the kind of the scaliness and the hardness, almost like a lime calcification or something that's going on in there. Okay. So she said to aid that physically, you can do a liver cleansing patch. Have you ever done those?
No.
Okay. You get a little washcloth, some thin piece of fabric, really thin, and drizzle castor oil on it. And put it over your liver, put a piece of saran wrap over it, and then put heat on it. So it could be a heating pad or whatever. And the heat will drive the castor oil in and it flushes out stuff. And that's totally safe for people to do. Some people will do it after they've taken antibiotics or after they've been on birth control pill for years. But it does flush the liver out. And my spirit explained to me many years ago, you can think of yourself as creating anger and resentment in the gallbladder and then shuttling it over to the liver to store it.
Oh, interesting.
And so when people have gallbladder issues, they're usually in the midst of a lot of anger and outrage about how they think people are treating them, how they think the state of the world, that sort of thing. And so usually we can calm down the gallbladder issues by having them view things differently. But clearing out that liver, when we do some sort of cleanse that sort of starts sloughing some of that stuff out of the liver, you can experience when you're doing that liver cleanse. I think it's fascinating that people will say, gosh, the first day I did it, I just felt some relief. The second day, I was pretty grumpy because you're releasing those emotions out. Mm. And I would say, just let them flow out. Don't take them too seriously. Don't take any upset or irritations you have on that second day too seriously. And then by the third or fourth day, it just smooths out and you're good to go. But you then, that should get rid of that feeling in your liver of that's giving you a little kind of twingy, achy in the back of you.
Okay. Well, thank you. And what is fascinating about that recommendation with the castor oil is I had a massage yesterday with and my massage therapist is phenomenal. And she's like an Ayurvedic practitioner. And so I had said, told her that I'd been feeling this in my back because she's always like, well, what do you want to focus on? And sometimes I'm like, just a nice, you know, all around. And this time I was like, well, I can feel something in my back. And so she, as she was working on me after she reported, it was she's like, I felt the inflammation and it was very fibrous. And she was like, I have an herbal compress that I can get for you if you want. And so it's castor oil. And she explained just, I mean, exactly what you just said, where it's like, this is a castor oil. It had some herbs in it. But put it on like a flannel, put saran wrap around it. I've never heard this before until like 24 hours ago.
Now 2 days in a row.
Yes. And she had done that. She had had a compress on it yesterday. And she's like, yeah, it really absorbed it. Like while she was working on other places, she's like, you really needed that. So it's amazing now that you're like, the only time I've ever heard that was when Sheila told me yesterday.
And what will happen is when the liver gets a little inflamed, you'll feel it in the back, usually more than the front.
Yes.
And so that's what you're experiencing. And her feeling that fibrousness just lets you know that inflammation is pressing against the fascia. And so then she's really able to feel that fascia. So that should help calm that down. And then you can also, I would do a little journaling about what are some resentments that I think I'm ready to let go of now. Mm. And you have to dig deep because some of those things we forget. And so sometimes I'll say, just sit and go into your heart space and ask your spirit, show me what I'm storing in there that I've forgotten all about. And you might see a little quick vignette, a little snippet of something from when you were in fifth grade and that girl betrayed you or whatever it is where you're like, oh, yeah, I don't need that anymore. And you can chuck that out. But just writing those things down and releasing them. And when people say, how can I release? How can I forgive? That was such a deep betrayal of my high school boyfriend or my first husband or whatever that is. And I say, mine it for all the gifts that are there. Get those little gems. You don't want to leave any little tiny diamond speck behind. And when you really have gotten all the gifts out of it, how did it teach you resilience? How did it teach you to trust yourself? How did it build your intuitive knowing? Then you'll know when you hit that place where you're like, oh yeah, and there's just that spark of gratitude. And then you can release it. Mm. And then your inflammation will really go down in your liver at that point.
Oh, thank you so much. It reminds me of the last podcast episode that I did, which hasn't come out yet. I mean, it will probably by the time yours is out. But we were talking about this very thing in terms of how we change our past, because we often might have like metaphysical instruction about how, well, you can go back and change your past and da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do exactly what you're talking about doing, where it's something that was really hard for us to go through, but we allow ourselves to look at it from a fuller perspective, then like I love that, mine every gem out of it. Like, what did I learn? How did it change me for the better? How did it make me more compassionate? Did it make me more grateful? Did it make me more humble? You know, what was it? What were the gifts within it? And then we literally change our relationship to something that was traumatic. And so we can look back on it. Like if it ever comes to mind, it's like, wow, that was a real turning point for me because it delivered whatever.
Delivered these gifts. My spirit said to me years ago that we all love to see ourselves as resilient and compassionate and forgiving. But we don't want to go through any of the experiences where we could know that about ourselves.
Oh, so yes.
I just want to be resilient without having any need to be resilient, right? I don't want to go anything difficult. I just want to be resilient. And she's like, that's an impossibility. You can only experience yourself as these things by going through these difficult times. And then when we resent the difficult time and make that person wrong or bad, we sort of miss. And then we do it. We get the universe goes, let's bring her another one. And it's not like it's a lesson or a test or a punishment. It's that we've asked to experience ourselves as forgiving and compassionate and resilient and strong and humble, as you said. And then we get given experiences that can allow us to see ourselves and experience ourselves that way. And we get caught up in the make wrong and the held on resentments. And then we just get more.
Yeah.
Right. And so when people say, I know I need to forgive this person, I would say, I don't think we have the same understanding of forgiveness. Because for me, forgiveness means I have such an understanding of why it happened and how it benefited me that I no longer see myself as the victim. It still could be awful to have gone through. There's very little about my divorce that 20 years ago that I enjoyed. There's very little about certain experiences that I enjoyed, but I can see the perfection in it. And I see the gift that it was. I don't wish that pain on anyone, that they have pain or suffering. But if you've already had that, let's get all the good juicy bits out of it so you don't draw anything like that to you again. And you don't carry the weight and the heaviness of that victimization of it in your body. Mm. That's what can create that disease.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're ill at ease with what happened to you. And it's that reconciliation and that kind of, oh, that's that release. That's what I look for in terms of forgiveness, is that there's not a thing to forgive anymore because there's such complete understanding. You've unclenched your fists and you've let go.
Mm. I get the sense
and
of
that. Body thrives.
Yes, I love that. It gives me this sense of stepping through a gateway, like you were one version. And then when you invoke that, you know, that forgiveness, that understanding, that acceptance, the gratitude even, then you step through that gateway into a different version of yourself.
And it's like what you were talking when we were talking earlier about that idea of our culture evolving. I think as we up-level our perspective and expand our consciousness, we're looking for not retribution or punishment or an understanding from that level or the should of forgiveness. Instead, we're coming at it from, how can I understand well enough that I'm at peace with this? I can still honor that that was super painful to go through, getting fired unjustly or being betrayed in a relationship or these different. I can honor the discomfort and the emotional sadness and heaviness that I went through at that time. But now how can I also have enough understanding that I bow my head in humble gratitude that was given to me? Mm. And that's work. That's our work to do. But man, your whole body lights up with vitality. And I see the clients that work with me, they might have a few sessions and I'm like, do you realize how radiant your energy field is right now? Because there's so much more vitality that comes through when we're not compromised with all these dark areas of, I was wronged here, I was wronged here, this is how the universe hasn't taken care of me, this is how my brother betrayed me. All of those things that weigh our energy down and limit our perspective and our expansion. And as we release those, there's just such an increased vitality. And yes, their businesses prosper and they make more money. And yes, their symptoms go away. But for me, it's that expansion that I witness as people start doing this work.
Mm. That's fantastic. You can't ask for more than that, right?
Yeah. I started teaching a class once a month called Your Energy Matters, because your energy does matter so much. And it really sets the stage for your physical health and your emotional well-being. And the class is about things that we weren't raised with, or at least I certainly wasn't, things like shielding yourself, making energetic boundaries, cleansing yourself of other people's energy, protecting yourself from people who are frustrated with you and sending you negative energy, intentionally or unintentionally, and making those things second nature. Before I go drive on the freeway now, I shield myself because there's always frustrated drivers. There's always people rushing. There's always people, you know, not paying attention because they're on their phone and the people around them are getting frustrated. And I don't want to pick up that energy. And so the more I started tuning into sort of energy hygiene, the higher I could vibrate all day. And so the better my outlook and the better my health. And so as I've been working and teaching my clients that, I'm like, wow, there's so many universal teachings that come. I'm just going to teach this every month until it becomes more second nature for people. And it's $25 a class. I made it super inexpensive. So everyone could just jump in and when you don't have to attend a certain series, but you can go in and hear examples that people bring of, okay, but how do I make an energetic boundary around this? It's my own child and she's a teenager and she's doing this, right? And so having those real world examples helps people really learn to work with these sort of, I don't want to say simple techniques, but they're simple in that it doesn't have to be long and complicated, right? It's simply directing the energy around you. And that helps people start feeling empowered about their lives.
Wow. That's so beautiful. So, Christine, this has just been full of wonderful insights and beautiful feelings. I love connecting with you. Tell everybody how they can. Oh, thank you. Tell everybody how they can find out more about you.
So I'm at christinelang.org. So it's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E-L-A-N-G. And there you can find recordings of previous classes and things that I've offered. I have a book called The Body Whisperer that's on Amazon, and you can also see that on the website. And you can read more about individual sessions and classes and workshops that we have coming up. And if you join my email list, I'll send you 3 tips on how to increase your intuition. And then you can get started that way. And I'll also, as I said, give that guided meditation to you, and you can make that available to your listeners that helps people go in and get the specific messages from each symptom in their body. And that's something they can just download and hold on to and use again and again. And the more you have that conversation loop going with your body, the faster you'll get at noticing, oh, something's tight, something's off. Let me ask about that now instead of waiting for it to be this full-blown symptom.
Beautiful. Well, everybody can find that meditation right in the notes. So go and find that and grab that now. So thank you so much. This has just been delightful.
Oh, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to ask you for one quick favor, and that's to share this episode with one person who you think will benefit from it. Let them know you're thinking about them by sharing this episode with them right now. Thank you, and I look forward to the next meditation conversation.